order.
The New World Order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
To meet with mine, they glance away in fear, as if you should not look at your reflection in the mirror. How can I explain to you when you won't understand? You scoff me and you mock me and reject the truth at hand. You spread your vicious rumors all across this troubled land. You willfully and knowingly transgress from his command. Your mind has been made up by people you don't know. Thought machines control the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded. Every time I think about the damage that's been done, the anger wells inside me till I'm almost overcome. I want to tear the moon out of the sky and drop the sun. Why do I feel so all alone, like I'm the only one? Even though your eyes are open, they may never ever see. Your mind may never comprehend this sinful subtlety. Your heart may never hunger for the truth that sets you free. Your soul may know the darkness of divine eternity. Like petty thieves who plunder in the shadows of the night, they break inside and enter through the windows of your mind. How can I control this poisoning of the soul? These lies that blind your eyes, blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. So well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies.
the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Welcome to the Radio Ranch this Thursday evening, May 23rd, 2024. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you. It's been a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch this springtime. You've heard me say it before. This spring 2024 has been absolutely beautiful. Storms all over the country. Going to talk about a little bit of that tonight. But we have sure had a blessed spring out here. And talking to many across the nation and places like Florida and Alabama and Nebraska and Texas and some parts anyway, having a fantastic year. But we have to keep everybody in prayer because we are having some wild weather as well, and we'll talk about that. Well, let's open up in prayer before we go any further. And Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone. Lord, I pray your blessings on this broadcast tonight, that, Lord, it is an encouragement to your people and that it is pleasing to you, Lord. Thank you for the work, the life, the effort and toil that went into allowing us to be here. Lord, for opening our eyes, for teaching us and giving us the opportunity to see your word, your truth. And Lord, thank you for opening our eyes to it. That is my prayer, Lord, that the eyes of the blind are opened, that the ears of the deaf are opened and unstopped, and that, Lord, the hard hearts in the nation, Lord, are softened and turned to you. We are in such dire need, Lord. In your wrath, remember mercy, O Heavenly Father. I pray all this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Remnant, it is interesting times. The very times that we're in, I was taking a look, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that is a good comparison to have. That is a good contrast to keep in mind, I think, in our daily life when we interact with people and governments and society and just our daily life, that we keep that in mind, that there is a thief out there that comes to steal and kill and destroy. And he may come in the physical, and it may be in the spiritual. And you need to make sure you are aware of each one. How about that? Just wanted to start out with that. The times we're in, interesting times. I don't think that it's just normal weather, getting out of spring and heading into summer here before much longer. And we'll be in summer in June, but weather all over. Prayer requests coming out of Texas and Iowa and Ohio and Michigan and up in the further northeast, record rains and just extreme weather. And in looking at this and seeing it, I went back and checked our notes. And, you know, back 7 years ago in 2017, when the first great American solar eclipse came across this nation, it was followed the rest of that summer and fall by extreme weather. And we're just seeing it again. I really think that's what it is. Things that we haven't seen in the past. The heavy winds, the heavy hot winds early in the year, the fires early in the year. I think God is trying to, or at least presenting the opportunity to get the attention of the people here in this nation, that things are not happening like they always have. Just as simple as that. It is interesting times. You know, this past Sunday got the opportunity to bring the message, talked a little bit about, I think the title was The Emperor Has No Clothes, and we've got that archived at the website. But the times that we're in, are just that. They are interesting times. We're seeing things. I just do not recall seeing them. The northern lights being visible in Florida, the whatever it is, Aurelia Borealis. I don't recall that ever happening. And we're seeing those things in our lifetime right now. And we mentioned Sunday the bird flu. That's kind of been not really in the news, but I've heard people talking about it. It's not really on the mainstream media, but bird flu in dairy cows, and it's just causing problems, and they're wanting to decrease the raw milk sales. But it seems like that just the opposite is happening, that the raw milk sales are increasing, even with the reports. Now, the latest reports I saw, a second human person caught bird flu from dairy cows. This one in Michigan. They said the first one was back in March in Texas, these farm workers. And I just have to wonder if it is actually these farm workers getting this bird flu infection from the cattle, or is it the other way around, and it's just that's how it's reported to us? I mentioned this report last week. Out of Chicago, 84% of the Chicago's measles cases are traced to Venezuelan migrants. 84% just to Venezuelan migrants, not including the migrants from Peru and Chile and Ecuador. And that's what we're seeing. And we're going to continue to see, as we continue to be invaded, as our, let's see, what's the proper terminology, as the demographics are evolving here in America. Yeah, that's the politically correct term that people use. And, it's absolutely correct. It is. If you've got your Bibles and you get a chance, turn over right now. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 32. No, not Deuteronomy 28, although that is there. But let's turn over to Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses. And just as when we read in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, when you read about the blessings, you see that probably for the first 300 years of this nation that we were living those blessings. The government policy of manifest destiny, that as our nation grew and there were more and more people, guess what? Land just opened up. The Midwest land rush and the Nebraska land rush and the Dakotas and down in the Southwest. And it just opened up. And in the government, the policy was it was manifest destiny. It was meant to be, because it was. And in Deuteronomy 28 points that out. Well, when you keep reading and you get after verse 15 into the curses, well, you see that for about the last 100 years, we've lived more of the curses in this nation than the blessings. Our prosperity, it's just exciting to see that there in Deuteronomy 28. Well, let's look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses. Starting in verse 8, it says, "When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel." Now, when you understand who the sons of Israel are, see, this is nations, not one nation, okay? A multitude of nations, boundaries of the peoples, all of the peoples. It says, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance." But verse 8 says, "He set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel, Well, you know, for the first 300 years of this nation, we had more sons and more sons and more daughters and more daughters, and the number of the sons of Israel grew and grew and grew and grew, not only in this nation, but in all the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian nations. Grew and grew and grew, but especially here, as people from all those nations came together. And there was just more land and more land and more land. And but see, that's changing now. And it's by design, of course. But and it's because of our sin, just to give you the lowdown. That's, we know that's what the end cause is. It's our sin. You know, the Bible says, brethren, you have no need of anything else to be told you or written for you. You know what's going on. These are the signs of the times. That is why this invasion just continues to go on. And the Republicans complain about it, and the Democrats say, oh no, it's we're keeping the law at the border, and they pour in by the hundreds of thousands. They are overtaking the cities, repopulating. Because the number of the sons of Israel have been declining. We've mentioned it since 2007 in the public education system. The white children have been just one more of the many minorities. No longer the majority in the public school system. And that's been 17 years. See, so it's all the way into college now. And it hasn't changed every year. So in 2007 it was that way? In the next class that came in 2008 in kindergarten, guess what? Same thing. 2009, and it's been that way. And when God's people won't fill up his land, well, God will allow another people to come in and fill it up. Have you ever read the Bible? It's full of it. And, you know, it works both ways. When the Canaanites and the Ishmaelites and the Philistines and all them would get so evil, well, what would God do? God would say, I'm going to give that land to my people. And when his people were obedient to them, that's just what he would do. And he would drive the ungodly people out. We'll see, it works on the flip side as well. And that is what we are experiencing. Is this nation founded on the Bible, founded on the Mayflower Compact, which gives glory to God and says to the furtherance and continuation of the Christian faith. From that foundation to what we live in today of anything goes, should God not do that? Should he not? He sets the number, the boundaries, according to the number of the sons of Israel. So if the sons of Israel are not growing, guess what happens to their boundaries? They shrink. They get smaller. It's just that way. It is just that way. And when you read the rest of this, you know, you read it on down and the blessings, God found him in a desert land and carried him and guided him and gave him oil and honey and water and all that. But then you get to verse 15, very similar to Deuteronomy 28. It says, but Jeshurun, which is another name for Israel, waxed, grew fat and kicked. It says, you are grown fat, thick and sleek. It means you've had plenty. You know, there's no gauntness there. There's no want. There's not. It says, but then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. That means scorned Jesus Christ. Now, see, when this was written in the time of Moses, this rock is capitalized. But see, it meant, you know, because God it was our rock. He was our rock then, and Jesus Christ is our rock today. and we have scorned him. It says that you have scorned the rock of his salvation. And when you read it on, you know, verse 18, you neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. And so when you read on, you see we get misfortunes heaped upon them, his arrows on them. Verse 24 says they will be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction. And see, that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing, whether it is the invaders coming in, these newcomers, as they're called. We see the economy just going to... We don't eat fast food. We don't do McDonald's and that type of stuff. I bought a couple cups of coffee for somebody else at McDonald's a few years ago, and that's the last time I remember being at McDonald's. But even fast food is up almost 200% over the last 3 years. I saw an article that said Walmart and grocery stores are selling more fresh food because it's become cheaper than fast food, because fast food prices have gone up so much. And so we see the economy just, that's those misfortunes we read about in Deuteronomy 32:23. Verse 25 says, outside the sword will bereave, and inside terror. And it's frustrating seeing this and having friends and people that I know that just don't look at this and, you know, just think that, oh, we're just so happy to know Jesus. And that's it. That's as far as it goes. And it's just that they're blinded to this love your neighbor. They're blinded to this we are to obey the Lord. So I encourage you, you know, we're always talking about Deuteronomy 28 to read that, to see the curses and the blessings and see if it does not apply, if you don't see it in our society. Well, the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32 is the same way. It really is. When you understand that, as we read, we started off, there is a thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And God allows that when his children, when his people turn from him. And when you read both Deuteronomy 28 and Deuteronomy 32, it points that out. And that is the only salvation we have today, is to go back to his word, to go back to his law, to return to him. And he tells us to do that, doesn't he? Return to me, he says, and I will return to you. Something so simple that I know the remnant knows and understands that, and it is so lost on most of Judeo-Christianity today. Well, there were a few more current events that kind of caught my eye. I thought I'd mention. Still with the economy, seeing things like Disney and Pixar, saw them cutting another 14% of their workforce, and they employ hundreds of thousands, and so quite a loss there. Of course, you probably won't see that reflected in the jobs market, right? And the unemployment info and things like that, but it is what is happening. And again, this bird flu, we've talked about how our enemies desire to starve us out. That is their desire. Their desire is to get us on crickets and bugs and things like that to eat, so that there can be control over God's people. And our people are just blinded to it. You know, in Job 37, in Job 37, verse 13, it says, whether for correction or for his world, or for loving kindness, God causes it to happen. Or There's a I wrote in here from my reference Bible. It says literally, instead of God causes it to happen, he causes it to be found. And so things that happen, we see they are either, you know, whether they are for correction or for his world and his nature that God created, or for loving kindness, God causes these things to happen. We could say that he allows these things to happen because he keeps his word. And his word says that when we obey him, it's real simple. We are blessed. And when we disobey him, we are not blessed. We are cursed. And it's not that Jesus Christ just came on the scene in Matthew as a babe. That was when he came to walk as a man and save us from our sins, at least offer that, and die on the cross. But throughout the scriptures, he is there. But we just don't see that. We don't. It's not taught. It's just not. And worldwide, things seem to be heating up. Saw this in yesterday's headlines. It looks like Russia now drilling and training with nukes along several of their borders. And so I sure don't understand politically and worldwide just what is going on with Russia and the Ukraine. I sure don't think Russia's the good guys. I think that... the Ukrainian government, there's massive amount of corruption in it, just like there is in ours. And so for us to say that, oh, Ukraine is all corrupt, they're all corrupt, and we're all not, is incorrect. The people there are agricultural people for the most part. Not as well off, you might say, as the people here in this nation and in most of the other nations in the world. Very rural areas in the Ukraine where the fighting is going on, and very agricultural. But the corruption is certainly there. We know that in the high places, just like it is here. And so... I think these Russian drills, one of the reasons, you know, the State Department issued a worldwide caution alert for Americans overseas, that just to beware worldwide, oh, you just can't go anywhere these days. You just can't. And some will pay attention and some won't. So that's how it is. That really is how it is. Well, Remnant, I want to remind you, too, let you know we are working. We appreciate your prayers. We're working on the next Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 6. And one of the main articles we're working on is, it's an interesting writing from Pastor. It's Going to the Prophets and Going to Babylon. And I think you'll enjoy it. It's kind of a blast from the past, but certainly pertinent with everything that is going on today. And so... we're working on that, getting that put together. Got a couple of new books in, and we'll advertise that to see if they interest you, if they'll be a blessing to you, and give you some more insight and reading material there to add to your library. And so we do ask for your prayers. We're working on Volume 6 of The Dragon Slayer. We've tried this year to stay on top of that and keep a current Dragon Slayer out to you, the Remnant, and so we thank you for that, for your prayers for that. Let's have a song. I'll give me a drink of water. We'll have a song and be right back after this.
You've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father calls it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Aliyabow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels. So they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
Amen. Amen. Well, didn't know if you tuned in Sunday. Talked a little bit, had a message called The Emperor Has No Clothes. And I got to thinking about that a few weeks ago, put some notes together for it. And I don't know if you remember the old folklore story from Hans Christian Andersen. My daughter barely remembered it. She's 16, and she really didn't know everything about it. So we went over with her real quick. But, you know, it's many times the old folklores, whether it's Cinderella, the old, we call them fairy tales or whatever, but Cinderella and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and you know, many of the old stories like that, they were a retelling of the Bible story. They had Bible morals and stories in them. They were a retelling of biblical principles for children, and once again, that's been lost on our society. But you know, we know about Cinco de Mayo and Juneteenth. You know, we get holidays for that these days. But you know, the story, The Emperor Has No Clothes, it really applies to us today, to America today. Do you remember the story? See, it starts out with two swindlers. See, two thieves. We started talking about that at the beginning of the program. We read about that, right? The thieves that come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so these two swindlers arrive at this the capital city of the emperor. The emperor always loved clothes, spends lavishly on his clothing, usually at the expense of his subjects. And so these two swindlers, posing as weavers, offer to supply him with this, the most magnificent clothes that are actually invisible to those who are either stupid or incompetent. Now the emperor, this is a great idea to the emperor, and he thinks, oh, I'll grow in power. I can see when I get these clothes, I'll be able to see the people that can't see it. I'll know who's stupid in my kingdom and who's incompetent, who's not worthy of their job. So he hires them and they go to work. And he just pours the money to them, and he sends his officials over time to go and check up on them and see how it's going. And so they do that. And of course, they see nothing because there's nothing there. But their pride comes in, and they don't want to be thought of as stupid or incompetent or incapable. And so they go along with it. Oh, that is beautiful, they say. Oh, we've never seen anything so lovely. And they go back and tell the emperor that it's all good. Looks great. You're going to love it. They all see that the looms are empty, right? That there's nothing there. But they go along with it because they don't want to be thought of as stupid or foolish. So finally, they report the suit's finished. They finish fake pretend dressing the emperor. And he goes out in a procession, in a parade before the whole town. Now, all the townsfolk, they're very uncomfortable with it. But, you know, the word on the street is if you can't see these beautiful clothes, you just must be incompetent. You're just not worthy. And they all just go along with it, oohing and aahing. And there's nothing there. It's a lie. And then finally, you know, the end of the story, finally a little child speaks up and says, but Daddy, he ain't got nothing on. He's not wearing anything. And before you know it, people are whispering, a child said he didn't have anything on. You know, I think that too. And so before you know it, the word gets around. See, the truth comes out. The truth had already been, always been there. It's just that it finally came out, and the people finally realized what they'd always known. And, you know, the expression, you know, the emperor has no clothes, applies to, you know, many situations that are painfully clear, but yet you don't want to mention it, right? It's almost unmentionable. And so it's used to expose the willful ignorance of people, unwilling or unable to acknowledge the truth, what is obvious, right? And we are living that today, whether it relates to this invasion that we have going on, or this rotten, stinking economy that is eating up savings and wages and everything else and causing places like soup kitchens and food pantries to boom in business, and stores, Target, feeling the pinch. Many stores, I forget how many. We talked about it at the end of last year, but a record number of stores filing bankruptcy. Look at your pharmacies. The people are sicker and sicker and needing more and more drugs, and pharmacies in Pennsylvania and California and Indiana closing down. Now, part of that's because the people are stealing so much from them, but the economy's in the it just stinks. And people know it, but they just go along with it. You know, the green energy, yes, we need more solar. People sell their land to get solar farms put up. They go along with the LGBTQ crowd, knowing they don't reproduce, knowing marriages are falling apart, knowing that there's less and less children in our land today. It's as obvious as it can be. But the people just go along with it. because that's what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is going in debt and buying new cars and buying bigger houses, and that's just what everybody does. Yes, isn't those are beautiful clothes. This 30, 40, 50-year mortgage that we have. That's beautiful garments. Oh, I like the way that design is. Oh, the pattern. It's beautiful. Because everybody else does the same thing for the most part. It's almost like gone are the days of common sense of, save up your money and buy a little something. A small house or a vehicle or something like that. And it's all but impossible today, granted. But that's what it is. It is this willful ignorance that most people have that are unwilling or unable to acknowledge the obvious truth. Now, many are just as this definition says, unable. Many are just unable. They just don't see it, right? We talk about that. They just don't get it. Many are that way. There's some in that category that just don't understand. Maybe they're just working so much or don't have the education or haven't taken the time to look in and research and see just what's going on with the Federal Reserve or just what's going on with vaccinations. But even those things are coming out. They're coming out. There's more and more doctors and even clinics and universities are coming out. State of Florida said, don't you get any COVID vaccines, no more boosters. That was the state of Florida Attorney General. And so, see, these things that have been obvious, right, that everybody that wore a mask got COVID, right, for the most part. See, the obvious is coming out. It's the emperor has no clothes, and it's becoming more and more obvious. More and more people are having their eyes open to it. That green energy ain't so green. It's just not. And it's not dependable. Let's see how this summer goes with more of the energy grids going to solar and wind power. Let's see how they do in the heat of the summer. We've already seen the rolling brownouts the last several years, rolling blackouts, whatnot, in California and in Texas as well. And so we'll see. And what it does is it opens more and more people's eyes to it when they look to the truth. And, it is truly that way biblically as well. It's not just in our society. It's not just in our, in our economy and in our land today that literally it's almost like it's America has no clothes instead of the emperor. These things that are put out, the government has no clothes. These things that are put, we see all that. But, it's biblically as well. It is scripturally as well. It is salvation-wise as well. Because the Bible tells us the simple plan of salvation. If you go and read the Bible, don't listen to what I tell you that it is. You go read the Bible and see if it doesn't tell you that you have to obey. In the Old Testament and in the New. And if it doesn't tell you that you have to believe in the Old Testament and in the New. And if it doesn't tell you that you have to repent and return to Him. And the New Testament tells us how. And that's to be baptized. Full immersion for the remission of sin. Oh, but that's not the type of clothing that the Judeo-Christians want Christian America to wear. Oh, no, just believe. Don't you see this beautiful garment and read where it says those that believe are saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. And that's it. And don't you see that beautiful garment? Look how the light reflects off of it and how beautiful it is. and they ain't there just ain't nothing there. And as long as the so-called Christians in this land are willing to listen to those that are deceived or are deceivers, then they'll continue seeing those beautiful garments that just aren't there. But the scriptures are there. Matthew 7:23, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name didn't we cast out devils? And in thy name we've done many works, many wonderful works." See, they believed. They called on the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now that's the King James. Let me open my New American Standard to that. Matthew 7:23. Let's take a look. Matthew 7:23. "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Now, that's a direct quote, right, from Psalms 6:8. Okay? That's, you see, in my Bible, it's all caps. And so it's a direct quote from Psalm 6:8. That's why I love a reference Bible. What does Psalm 6:8 say? "Depart from me, all you who do iniquity." Depart from me, all you who do iniquity. See, that's a iniquity. Practice lawlessness. You don't hear that today. You don't hear that today. Because today it's pushed and promoted that, oh, no, no, don't look at that lawlessness. You need to look over here at these beautiful words. At these that you don't have to do anything. Just believe. Just say the sinner's prayer. I'm still looking for that one in the scriptures. I can read where it says repent. I can read where it says return to me and I'll return to you. I can read in Romans, okay? I can read in Romans 6, that's New Testament, that says, "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Now, this is pretty self-explanatory, right? We have been buried with him. How? Because we believed? Does it say we've been buried with him because we said the sinner's prayer? Does it say we've been buried with him because we repented? Because we went to church? Any of that? No, it gives the formula. You know, 2 plus 3 is not 4. And 2 plus 47 is not 4. And 2 plus 918,000 is not 4. And 2 plus 1 is not 4, but 2 plus 2 is 4. Right? Pretty simple. So when we have been buried with him through baptism into death, we too might walk in newness of life. Just like he was raised from the dead, it says, then we will be. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, how? Buried with him through baptism into death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him and died with him, so that our body of sin might be done away with, and that then we should no longer be slaves to sin. So then we are what? Born again. So, but to be born again, you have to be born the first time. And then you have to die. Just like it says here. We have been, and what do you do with a dead person? You bury him. This is New Testament, Romans 6, 4 through 6. We keep pushing this because it is so important. That is why Pastor Peter's preached baptism for so long. Because when you look at the flip side of this, what if you have not been buried with him through baptism into death? What if you have not become united with him in the likeness of his death? According to the word. It's just not taught out there, folks. It's just not taught. Matthew 7:15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is that simple. And again, Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Well, Remnant, I'm about out of voice. Sorry I didn't get the phone lines open tonight. We'll have the phone lines open, good Lord willing, Friday morning for coffee with, or Saturday morning for coffee with the Wrangler. So we hope that you'll join us then. Thanks for tuning in. Didn't mean to ramble. Just working on the newsletter a lot this week, but wanted to share those current events. And we don't need anything else to be written to us. We know we should be able to see the signs of the times, and doing all we can to be ready, to be praying for those that are affected by these storms across the country, all through the Midwest, all down in the South. To be praying for those that are traveling, that, you know, join us on the Wednesday night prayer meetings. We sure encourage you. We presented that in the last newsletter and gave you a little insight into that to join us to pray for one another. It's a win-win-win-win-win situation. It really is. It really is. And so we encourage you to do that. Again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your prayers and support. It allows us to be here to continue to be about the Father's business. And if you'd like these, we mentioned also Sunday morning, these little don't miss out pamphlets. Already sent 50 out to one person that ordered them. If you'd like them, you just contact us. We'll be glad to send them to you. It tells in a very biblical way the importance of baptism. It's right from the scriptures. So we hope it helps. God bless.
Now, have you seen them flying saucers, or some of them black helicopters flying down low and over my backyard recently? Seen them foreign troops in ninja suits leaving imprints of their combat boots in the meadow down near the neighbor next to me? Heard they're building concentration camps from the rate hike off our postage stamps to protect and defend their great democracy. Though my vote in the last election didn't quite match the same projection made by those beautiful talking heads on my TV. And when I called them to complain, and I asked them to explain, they just said that it proves that you're not in the groove of the new majority. Yeah, sure. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Now they've got microwaves and laser beams and rays to look inside your dreams and satellites that can see your DVDs. They got chips that fit inside your head that'll make you think their thoughts instead, and drugs that'll make you do just as they please.
And to make things even more serious, they got strains of new bacteria that are surely to cause some unknown new disease. And that's why we got fear and high anxiety and paranoid perplexity and the gradual loss of all our liberties. And as they try to bring us all down, they might leave us with a frown. They might even be the source of all the rumors in this town.